feature, The Village Tour, is funded by Cumasun na Mban with a television licence fee.
And you're very welcome to the latest edition of The Village Tour, where I am in Cratloe and I have four great guests with me. So we'll get them to introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about themselves and their role in the community here in Cratloe. Our first guest.
Hi, Alan. My name is Aaron Carroll. I'm born and bred in Cratloe and teaching in the local school now. I think next year will be my 22nd year, so I'm deputy principal up there. And I suppose that's really my role in the community, yeah.
And tell us a bit more about Cratloe National School.
Like a lot of things in Cratloe, you know, our population has expanded an awful lot in different, you know, kind of years over the past 30 or 40 years, since really the inception of Shannon Airport and the growth of Shannon and Limerick, you know. So the school has followed on in that regard. We have 308 children in Cratloe School at the moment, an overall staff of 25. And we've built on recently in 2013 and again now, and we're due to open two units for children with autism in coming September. So we've expanded with everything else in the parish. An awful lot of people from outside Cratloe have made Cratloe their home. I'm lucky enough to bring my own kids up in Cratloe, where I grew up myself. It is a fantastic place to live because of the groups, the community spirit, and because of its proximity to those employment areas really as well. So the school has been a real hub for that. You know, sometimes the danger is with a place like Cratloe, I suppose, Alan, they can turn into dormitory towns very easily. You know, might have people move in and it can become faceless, you know, because all they need to do is pop off to work, and we know how much work consumes our lives. So the school and the groups and societies that have set up in Cratloe that the ladies might talk about later on have really worked hard to keep people in the community ethos in Cratloe, and we're proud of how we do that in the school. It's often the first point of contact for people who bring their kids, build in Cratloe, come to live in Cratloe and grow up. So some of my friends might say to me, well, what's it like teaching locally? You know, you have to mind your P's and Q's. No, we're very, very lucky. Our kids are brilliantly behaved and everything. And touch wood, 22 years, no problem so far. But I suppose teaching locally, you know, it can be... it's not invasive, but, you know, you're kind of known in the community, we'll say. But the flip side of it is, and the positives are, that you are kind of at the forefront of everything that happens. I feel the school is often the beating heart of the community, especially during the day, and it's great to kind of witness that and be at the, you know, at the front line really kind of with it, you know. So we're delighted. There's great community spirit, and that feeds through the school often as well, you know. So we're proud of our school. Great school going up there, and it's the third school actually that's been in the parish. Some of the more experienced parishioners might tell you that the community hall now, Noel probably went to school in what we call Cratloe Community Hall now, that closed maybe when, Noel, late 50s?
1965.
Yeah.
1980, the second one,
yeah. So what we call the shop then, it was obviously when the population grew, it moved into what's the shop nowadays, the post office, the shop, the butcher area in Cratloe. So, but again, that wasn't long there at all. As Noel said, from 65 to 80, do you know, that outgrew, the population outgrew that school as well. Yeah, very quick. And I suppose that was the time that the jobs, and, you know, we were only learning about Brendan O'Regan the other day and all the industry that came to Shannon, Shannon Free Zone, the expansion of Limerick, the halt to maybe emigration, and the Midwest was an employment hub that time as well. Agriculture was never to the fore, you know, here as a primary income, so we needed income in Clare, and the population really grew hugely. A lot of people from Limerick moved out. I always call them our good friends, the West Clare diaspora came as far as Cratloe before moving across to Shannon, and it really expanded, I suppose, in the early 70s. Those people, they're the kind of the houses that are there now, an awful lot of them were built then. And so the school in that short 15-year space of time outgrew the population, outgrew the what we call the shop, and moved up to our current school location across from the church as well, which over the years has gradually expanded a little bit further as well, yeah.
It's interesting you say the Cratloe's kind of retained that kind of tight-knit community community spirit, because when I was in Six Mile Bridge, that was one of the things they were saying, that as it's expanded over the years and it's in the similar situation of being close to, you know, Shannon and so on, that it's become, there's a fear that it's become a place where people just sleep.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
But that is, hasn't happened here or hasn't happened yet, or something you'd be wary of.
No, and I don't, and we are wary of it. And Six Mile Bridge people. Do you think, Noel? Yeah, yeah. I suppose that's it's important in the groups and things like the community. What keeps, what's the sticking, you know, what keeps people then in the locality and get to know their neighbours as well. You know, I can name you the families that I grew up with in Cratloe, and they're still there and everything like that. Now, some of the people who've contributed most, I think, to our community, there'd be nothing here without some people from outside who've moved in. We've been very, very lucky with people who've made Cratloe their home, and that's the opposite of what you're kind of saying. There's always the threat because of where we are. Everything is on our doorstep if we need it. That's what makes Cratloe great, but it's also a threat at the other side of the coin as well, that, you know, you can go off and play your sport, go to secondary school, eat out, your local pub maybe, or, you know, the social circles you hang around might be in Shannon, Ennis or Limerick, you know. So, yeah, like you just said, Alan, people might just choose to come out here, buy our house, build a house, and just live here overnight, and we mightn't see them. And, you know, like Noel says, a large sector of the population, and you can't put a gun to anybody's head, you know, that's, everybody is free to do what they want. So you have to make your Cratloe community and the clubs that make that and the society and the groups that make that attractive to become a member of. And there has to be a value back for people. So you're always kind of, that's always an ongoing battle, I suppose, and you can't really take your eye off the ball in any regard with that. I think we do it well, and I'm well placed to see it in the school, for example. And I'm also a member of the GA club here locally. They'd be where I would spend most of my time. So I think we do that fairly well. But yeah, there's no doubt there are probably other threats. And community life in Cratloe, you know, the history of Cratloe, you know, family could die out in Cratloe. Nobody ever might knew, you know, the first family that come into that house might never knew what went on there or what existed there. And we just have to kind of cling to that and kind of promote it as best we can, I suppose, you know.
You mentioned you're with the GAA club, you're involved. I should have said we're actually here at the GAA clubhouse for Cratloe, and we have someone else involved with the club, the PRO. Let's get them to introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Siobhan O'Gorman, also Cratloe born and bred, and I've had a role here in the club for probably half my life now at this stage.
So tell us a bit more, Siobhan, about the history of Cratloe GAA Club. As I was coming in, so it followed hot on the heels of the establishment of the GAA 3 years later, 1887?
Yeah, that's right. So apparently we did contest a county football final in that year, their first year, but it was a long, long time before we reappeared. But we, it was a long time before we actually made the breakthrough in 2009 at senior level, yeah. But like that, it's growing all the time. It's the young people coming in, all the new families. The families, I suppose, what we see at the moment is people who are in their 30s now. They're all moving home. It's like a fight to buy the house that comes up for sale next, you know. And their little children then are coming through the schools again and coming through the club in the same way.
And I presume it's hurling and football?
Yep, yeah. And Camogie, yeah. Camogie. And the tennis club is a big part of the community here. So there's something for everyone. The hall here has badminton and cricket in the evening times as well. Basketball, it's used for all the community. It's not just GAA. So anyone who wants to set up a club, they're more than welcome to use it, yeah. It's a community-based hall.
And is that an important aspect of it, that it is a community hub and it isn't just confined to Gaelic games, that people who might be into Gaelic games, and there are some people out there, you know, if they want to play tennis or anything else, they're equally as welcome to come along.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, that's always the way. And that was one of the main things when the hall was built at when did we build the hall?
I think 2007 it opened, I think, 2007.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, it was the main thing was that it would be used for the community, for the whole community. It's based here in the club, but it's for the use of the entire community, yeah.
In terms of success on the pitch, can you give us a potted history of silverware success, and has that predominantly come in Camogie and hurling and football? Or
Camogie was reformed as well 10-11 years ago now at this stage, and it's great because there was a long barren years there. We had football when I was young, ladies football, but it just dwindled out through no fault. We had great people involved at the start, and they're no longer with us, I suppose. But it's great to see the girls having something, you know, and it's that sort of thing is encouraged a lot in the school as well. So it's great for everyone to have a bit of all inclusive, you know. And then on a senior point of view, we're knocking on the door all the time, trying. We've competed in a lot of county finals, won a few, lost more, but in both codes, yeah, it's important that we keep both of the codes strong here in the parish. A lot of people strong on both, so.
We're spoiled, Alan. Back to maybe the school. When Siobhan, I told us sometimes we've needed. Now this sounds awful arrogant. There's other club people going to be listening to this.
Go on, Aaron.
Full of themselves below in Cratlow, but we're very, very aware that we're living in times that, you know, they're unprecedented in our club. We're one of the first clubs in Clare, you know. And if you were to do a timeline through Clare, now we've always produced fabulous teams, fabulous hurlers and footballers and everything, but our timeline over our history has been very flat in terms of competing for top silverware against the Blue Bloods, your Clare Castles and the likes of this. And then all of a sudden in 2009, it's like sheep through a gap. Once one went through, there was, you know, it lifted confidence and everything within the club. Mm. Now, again, the sons of those people who came to Cratlow and daughters made the club, and it just filled the place with confidence. But I was saying to the children above in the school, this is the arrogant part. It nearly felt like for a while they were getting to county finals, albeit not winning them a lot of the times, that we had a dress up in blue day, and it was nearly an annual event. We're current county football champions. Yeah. We would feel that we left a couple of maybe hurling ones after, we lost a couple of football ones maybe as well. But look, we're getting greedy now. We got to county finals with amazing teams. And one day I went up and I just drew a timeline from 1887, and it was nothing, just nothing, flat lines everywhere until maybe 2009, when some of the children would have been up there, might have come in junior infants. And next thing, you have red dots and spikes all over the place, and there might be taken for granted that this is what Cratlow do. Cratlow get to county finals in both codes. But of course, we know from being there since 1887, we absolutely don't. So a bit like maybe Limerick folk at the moment, we are living in just a golden era. The challenge for us in the club is to keep that going and extend it, and always at the very least be competitive in both codes. But we've really been spoiled for choice, you know, in the last couple of years, and we have to pinch ourselves sometimes. It may not last forever that way, but that's the challenge, and that's a big part of getting the girls involved, isn't it, Siobhan, as well? That can't be just, you know, for one sector of the community in Cratlow, for the boys. Yeah. And then when I've grown up, you know, you might meet your classmates only in town or in college. You know, you'd never meet them at Cratlow Field or Sports Hall. It's very important that, you know, it's open to everyone. And it's another reason, like we said earlier, to get people to stay, socialise and stick around. And, you know, a girl should feel as much from Cratlow and be proud of that as a boy. And it shouldn't be just through GAA, you know. So that's been a big part.
Well, very good point to make. And also, Siobhan, I suppose, you know, Aaron mentioned your senior football champions, Colm Collins, manager, and obviously it's Mark Fitzgerald at the helm of Clare now. But is there a great pride in Cratlow at the job Colm did bringing the Clare senior footballers on? I know they're obviously in Division 3, season just gone, but bringing them up to Division 2 and staying there for so long and putting it up to some big teams. And there was a few famous scalps over the past number of years as well.
Yeah, definitely. It was the first match that I didn't have somebody within the club to wish luck to on social media for over a decade. So it was, Colm did an unbelievable job there. And he, you know, laid the foundation now, and hopefully they'll keep improving and keep going on again. But yeah, I mean, Colm is football, like, in Cratlow, and has been since he arrived. And thank God he arrived. between himself now and Kate and the boys, they're a great family, yeah. And then, what, I suppose 100 metres down the road you have Brian Logan and his family, like. So it's totally unprecedented for a parish our size to have the county football managers for both codes living a stone throw away from each other, yeah.
And they're great club people, you know. like all the Collinses and Brian Lohan and sons involved in the club, whether it's as a supporter. I've no doubt when the same as Cullen, when his time came to an end at intercounty level, he'll sleeves up. Well, he was actually doing the two of them during his tenure and had never actually took his hand off the tiller here, but it'll be the same with Brian. Sleeves will go up and they'll get involved, you know. They've obviously, it's they're big heights at intercounty level, like, and there's a bit of notoriety involved with that, but they never took their eye off the ball with what happens here locally as well, which is fabulous to see, you know.
Yeah. Although I suppose the whole of Clare will be hoping that doesn't happen for some time yet, because if it doesn't, that means he's doing something right with the hurlers. Yeah.
He's welcome back, but not just yet.
Let's bring in our other guests.
My name is Noel Danaher. I was born in Cratlow in 1938. People that are bad at maths, that means I'll be 86 in December. I grew up in Cratlow. Now, in a very different Cratlow, really, to what it is today. Like, it was just a small rural parish. When I was going to school in Cratlow, there were 73 children on the road. There are 308 in that, on the roads. We, you know, everybody went, you had to go to Limerick if you wanted to go to secondary school. There were no schools in Shannon. Cratlow didn't change really very much until the late 60s, early 70s. And then the first new families, I think, moved in around 1964. And you see, it's a very attractive place to live. So then it grew hugely from there. Now, when I was growing up in Cratlow, it was a very different community. It was a very, very close-knit community. There was a tremendous amount of cooperation between neighbours. Most of the people in the parish were farmers. So everything was shared. There was a lot of shared work and the shared food. When you killed a pig, everybody got the black puddings and the pork steaks from the neighbours. It was a lovely place to grow up. And fortunately, it hasn't changed too much. It has changed a bit. I mean, we still have...
Expected, I suppose.
Yeah, it won't. You know, it had to. You have to move on, so it has to. But a lot of the people who left when I left, they have come back. And, they, you know, their children have come back and their grandchildren have come back. So, you know, it's a lovely place to grow up. It really is. I know I'm very biased about it. And then we have everything. We have 20 clubs. You know, you can do anything you like. We have tennis, you name it. I know the GAA is very, very strong, it always has been. Now, there was no football, really, until Jody O'Connor came and the West Clare Brigade came. Yeah. We didn't have football. When I was growing up, there was only hurling. And there was only hurling for boys, and it was strictly not for girls. I remember when I was promoted in hurling, I was a goalpost. You know, I... there was no tolerance of women, but females. But things have changed, and it's great, I think.
They really have. Back in the days when women were goalposts, I never thought we'd be hearing that today on our final guest.
My name is Mary Lennan. I was one of the people who arrived in the 70s. We bought our site in 1974, and we've lived there. It's 50 years this year since we bought the site, and I think Cratlow is just the most wonderful place. I did a little list there of the clubs and societies. I can list them out in 30 seconds.
So go for it.
I'm going to give it a go. GAA, Hurling Football, Mothers and Others, Ladies Football, Camogie, the Bridge Club, the Cycling Club, the Over 55s Club. We have a scout group with Beavers and Cubs. We have a tennis club. We have golf, drama, badminton, ICA, judo and yoga, Irish dancing and set dancing, the church committee and the graveyard committee. The graveyard is looked after by volunteers. The community council and our local councillors living in the parish and both here for generations, four or five generations. That would be PJ and Patrick O'Gorman, Siobhan's brother. Tidy Towns, Woodland Biodiversity, Golfing Society, Badminton. Did I say that? I did say that before. Gun Club, Playground, Community Games. That, and that's the list. It's over.
Is that all?
That's all. And they're all very active. And people move from one to the other. We were talking about Colm Collins and the boys. The boys all play tennis in the tennis club if life is quiet on the GA front, and their mum. You have people as old as me. As if I moved out in 74, you'd all give a guess at my age, which is 72. And, you know, you'll have the likes of me playing tennis, and they will go back right down to the underage. and everybody plays together. It's just competitions constantly. And you're put with other parishioners you may never have met. And it's great fun. And barbecue or a party at the end, and it's fantastic.
And is it important, well, to have so much in terms of activities and clubs here to, you know, not dissuade, but so that people aren't, you know, feel compelled to go to Shannon or to Limerick or wherever it might be to do those kind of things?
No, what keeps them here is the enthusiasm they find. And all the members are active. Everybody can put their hand up and say, I can do this or I can do that. And it's just fantastic. We also have four nice local businesses. You have the Good Egg Cafe above there with Emma, and Lorna is, again, an O'Gorman. Kevin and William O'Brien. William lives in the parish and he's the butcher. Then you have Ashlings, also people living in the parish. Dermot, Clare and Jack run that. You have Owen here in the Woodcross, born and bred Cratlow. And you have Damien and Grania, also born in Cratlow. Well, Damien. And we brought Grania out from Limerick. But they're in set rights. And the church is very important to Cratlow people. It's very popular for weddings because it was built in 1791. It's the oldest in Cratlow still in use for worship. There's only three of them in the country, built in penal times. The grotto is also a great draw, both for people walking. The kids go up from the school. The school is in the grounds of the grotto. So the kids go up. During COVID, it was fantastic. The kids were constantly up the forest. It was great fun. They had a great life in Cratlow.
Okay, not stuck for things to see and do in Cratlow, no. That's for sure. And I think we might return to that theme after the break. This is the end of part one, but we'll be back with part two from our latest stop on the Village Tour Cratlow very shortly.
Don't know where to begin with your garden this summer? Well, why don't you drop in to Maloney Garden Machinery, Smithstown, Shannon, to check out the full Husqvarna range, including Husqvarna Automowers, ride-on mowers, tractors, brush cutters and hedge trimmers. Their expert staff can help you find the perfect piece of Husqvarna equipment, so you can enjoy pleasant sounds all summer long. Call Francis 061 364 300. Email info@maloneyhardware.com.
Make sure you're summer ready by visiting Mary Jo Duffy's Pharmacy, Tesco Shopping Centre, stockists of La Roche-Posay, Vichy and CeraVe products. Keep your skin looking radiant with their hyaluronic acid products from Vichy and their range of sun creams, antihistamines and Foster Grant sunglasses now in stock. They've exceptional value on top perfume brands like Hugo Boss and Lacoste. Mary Jo Duffy's Pharmacy, Tesco Shopping Centre, Ennis. Open Monday and Tuesday, 9 till 7. Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, 9 till 9. Saturday, 9 to 6.30. And Sunday, 10 till 7.
At AXA, block drains and burst pipes don't worry us. And the kids? Well, let them be kids. From the little accidents to life's bigger problems, these things happen. But with AXA Home Insurance, our 24/7 emergency home assistance, we'll have a fully qualified tradesperson with you quick. Together, we've got this. AXA. Know you can. Policy terms and conditions apply. AXA Insurance stock is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Go full Lidl for exclusive Lidl Plus Super Savers. Sear Board B approved Irish strip loin steak was £3.99, now £3.19. Add in Irish mushrooms, 50% off, now just 59 cents. And New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc was £10.99, now £8.99. Scan the Lidl Plus app and go full Lidl today. Get the facts to DrinkAware, visit drinkaware.ie.
Morning Focus with Alan Morrissey. Giving you all sides of the story. Clare FM.
And you're very welcome back to the Village Tour. Our latest stop is Cratlow. I'm at Cratlow GAA Club, where I'm joined by Siobhan O'Gorman, Erin Carroll, Noel Danaher and Mary Lennon. And maybe Erin will pick up from where Noel left off in terms of, you know, she was telling us about all the clubs that are here, but I did want to ask about, like, amenities. And everywhere I go on the Village Tour, I ask about whether there's enough amenities in terms of, like, shops and pubs and restaurants and cafes and things that people feel they don't have to kind of go anywhere else. It sounds like, from what Noel is saying, that's the case here in Cratlow. Do you still need to go elsewhere for certain things?
You do, to be fair. I suppose that's a nationwide problem, isn't it? Rural Ireland is changing and you have to go to the nearest hub town, you know. Now, the danger there is that there's nothing left where you are, and that's a problem everywhere. So I suppose in that regard, clubs and societies are great, but like, it's important. We've talked a lot about the school, the GA, but not everybody has to move in those circles. Not everybody has to go down to Setrights or up to the Woodcross to drink a pint. So where are the avenues for people to be known around Cratlow, you know, outside that? Now, again, I'm fortunate. Most people living in Cratlow have to pass their kids through the school, so I get to meet. But I've often stood beside people and say, you know, I might say, how are you? Across the road to somebody, who are they? I don't know them. And I might only be living in a townland away from them. So we as a community and a parish have to kind of, not only with clubs and societies, but maybe with small businesses and amenities and leisure pursuits, have to get people to try and stay here, and socialise here. But you're always looking for support with that. You know, and it might be a bit harder. Now, I'm really speaking out of turn here, I don't know, but it might be a bit harder to drum up the interest or to feel the need for stuff like that, for things like a cafe or, I don't know, a library, let's say, a train station, a community hub, where, Osher, lads, you're only 5 minutes from Limerick. You know, you're only 10 minutes from Shannon. But, like, we don't want to become just on the outer edge of either of those two places. We want a community in Cratlow. We want to provide services for our own people, get people to stay here, get local small businesses up, going, thriving, meet each other in these places. You know, because Noel gave a very interesting insight into the Mehel of years ago. And, you know, the day you were cutting hay, you had all your road in with you. You shared your pig with the next door neighbour. We saw it at weddings, we see it at funerals. Now, there is, thankfully, I think, a great element of that here left in Cratlow, but there's no doubt it's dwindling away. So what do we replace the Mehel with? You know, where do you meet people? You know, if you're not, you don't have to go into a pub, you know, or we've a thriving cafe in Cratlow, thank God, at the moment, you know, but you don't have to, and you don't have to hurl, you don't have to play football. So how do we get people to stay? It's going to involve a lot of innovation, you know, and support, and we won't be on our own in that. I sometimes think there's more to Ireland than Dublin, and that's very much felt down here in Cratlow. You know, we want to stand on our own 2 feet, have people spending money in Cratlow, circulating, socialising in Cratlow. So that's a bit harder to do maybe if you're closer to big hubs and populated areas like Limerick, because you kind of get sucked into those, you know. And I'm not being parochial now, I'm just saying I don't care which side of Limerick City you're on. You know, that's a bit harder to do. It's a bigger battle to stand on your own 2 feet. And I've seen other neighbouring places around big towns like that kind of get swallowed up and lose their identity. So I don't have any solutions for you, Alan, but we'll be knocking on.
I thought that was leading up to solutions there for a second.
I'm afraid I don't. But yeah, you know, clubs and societies are great and everything like that. You won't spend money, you won't create a little micro economy with them, you know. So look, hopefully we can hopefully there are people, forward thinking people out there that are in Dáil Éireann and in our county council in Europe, and rural Ireland can get back that sense of community. But you know, no one's cutting hay much anymore to do it. There's a guy in with a machine, he's done in an hour for you. You know, so we need to get, where do we meet? Where do those people meet? Where do I meet Noel, you know, anymore? If you know, if it's not at Mass, if it's not at the GA Club, where do we get a chance to meet each other? So I think that should be, we'll lose ourselves and there's no returning to it. It's like, who's your man's book? Healy, was it in Charlestown? And no one shouted stop. That's still going on in 2024. So and we wouldn't call ourselves an isolated or a marginalised area, but it can happen right in the middle of populated areas as well.
Well, do you want to say something on that? Because, I mean, you'll have seen, I suppose, the amenities change and maybe grow over the years, but on what Aaron's saying there.
You see, some people get left behind, and the biggest problem, I think, in rural Ireland, not so much here now, but in more, you know, out of the way places, it's the loneliness of older people. We had an instance in Cratlow a long time ago. Somebody committed suicide, and one of the main reasons the man committed suicide was he was lonely, because the friend, you know, the neighbours who had with visited him all the time were away. So then we set up an over 55 club. We still have that. Now we morphed into an active retirement club, but we've been there like for the last 28 years now at this stage. But the fact that we're here and so near Limerick and so near Shannon, it's difficult. Like, we've only 17 members, which is terrible, really, because there's a huge population of older people in Cratlow. But
how do you get them? Like, you can't force people to come. No. All you can do is encourage them.
We make it as attractive as possible. And, you know, with something like that, unless you have a big number, a relatively big number, you can't organise trips away because you need to get a bus. So we're going to be swallowed up by Shannon if we don't watch it. Now, we're resisting it. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to resist it. There is definitely a need as... just, you know, for lots of, you know, the local organisations. Now, it's great, like, to have the tennis club, and it's great that the girls have started to play camogie. I mean, that was a huge, you know, it was, the boys were so well cared for and the girls weren't. But, you know, that's changed as well.
For someone like you, you know, when you were talking about being, like being a goalpost back in the day to see a camogie team.
I have progressed, like, from being a goalpost to actually being able to play camogie if I was young enough, which I'm not. But they, you need something for older people. You need something to keep people interested. Now, we have a very good ICA meeting, but we've only ICA community, but we only have 12 members, and we're not getting new members. You know, we're not getting. It's funny, really, when we set up the over 55 club, I have people who say to me, "Well, you know, I'll help you with the old people. And they'd sort of say, "But I couldn't join just yet." Right. And they would have been at school with me, and I'd have been about 60 at the time, you know. I mean, people are very in denial about the fact that they're older.
And you can't say it to them, look in the mirror.
You can't say, "I remember." Yeah, it's not, you know. But, you know, the younger people, you know, like Siobhan, you know, they're doing a tremendous amount of work. They really are. You know, the older ones who've gone to their reward would be so proud of them. And one of the things in Cratlow, we have a great history of voluntary work. The community hall now was started, all that in the beginning, it was voluntary work. Saturday after Saturday, people went there and put it together. Well, then they got something had to be paid for eventually. But most of the work was done on a voluntary basis. The grotto was on a voluntary basis. Like, for 5 years, Cratlow men worked on the grotto for nothing. Everybody was rostered by your townland. You came, your townland came one day, my townland, and they all came and they built the grotto. It took 5 years. Now, if you've ever been up to the grotto, it took some work to do it, and that was with the horses and cart. It wasn't with modern machinery. Mm-hmm. You know, like, Cratlow is a great community. For, you know, it's got a great history, and it would be a shame to lose it. It really would.
And there's great community spirit in it.
There is,
I mean, that spirit of the grotto is still there.
Yeah.
Because you have a biodiversity crowd and they're doing work on the grotto grounds. Mm. You have the Woodland Group, which are running a walk next week. You have the community council itself, I mentioned that before. Mm. And they've all worked to keep Cratlow going and that sort of thing. And the GAA here have a walking track around the perimeter, and you'd often see your over 55 members trotting along, delighted kind of to meet for the chat and to get out and about in the fresh air. But the community council, somebody comes from all the organisations on community council, so if you have something to say, you go along and you say, "Well, can we do this and can we do that?" Mm. We're also working about transport from Cratlow. We're badly neglected by the NTA and the TFI. We have two bus stops. We have no bus shelter. Now, I don't know if you've ever stood on the Innes Road on a fine wet night and tried to get a bus. The buses often pass us. We don't have a shelter. It's just barely at the side of the road.
You must be excited then about, because recently on the show we talked about the plans, the proposals for improvements to the bus routes and the much maligned 343 bus route.
Yes, that would be great. We look forward to it. But we have been approaching them and we haven't really been, we haven't seen any developments, shall we say. We also have a lovely train station up there and we would love to see the train stop in Cratlow, either at that station or another station. It comes from Six Mile Bridge anyway and goes through the parish. And it would be great if that was done as well. So I was thinking they might do a dual project. we could have the motorway from Limerick to Cork, and Cratlow could have a train stop and a proper bus service. And I hope I won't have to wait too long.
Well, I had Eamon Ryan in recently. He might be likely to grant one more than the other, but we'll see. Another thing I'd like to mention is Cratlow Woods, which, you know, attracts people such as myself, you know, to go for walks or to walk the dog. Siobhan, it's something that I'm sure people who live in Cratlow are proud of, but that people, even if they're just coming, they'll visit Cratlow just to purely do that. And it's a beautiful amenity to have.
It is, yeah. It's great. You'd always have people out for Sundays hopping up there. They've obviously had to put up the second car park about 25 years ago at this stage. But it's, yeah, you couldn't pass the cars there now on a fine Sunday afternoon, you know. And it's great for people to have somewhere to go, you know, a lot of people living in apartments and things like that. And it's great to get out of the fresh air, and also a great place to meet the neighbours. And when you're walking around, you always meet people up the road, you know, stop and have a chat. And yeah, it's great for all ages. I mean, it is great compared, you know, going back to when we were young. We had the obstacle course there. It was infamous. But now they have the lovely playground up there as well. So it's great for everyone. Yeah.
And it was great during COVID as well, because people came, everybody from Cratlow walked in the woods. Yeah. And you were there meeting up with your neighbours, and you didn't lose touch, you know, the loneliness, you know, that was there for people who could go up there would be, you know, was great for people to meet up. And it was, if I remember rightly, the March of COVID was a beautifully fine month, unlike what we've had this year. And you'd go off up any time of the day and you'd bump into one of the neighbours, and everybody would talk, everybody would say hi. And I think we got more sociable about it too. You'd meet people of every age and you'd say hello.
There's a danger of taking Cratlow Woods for granted. I see that. So now we definitely, since COVID, we haven't taken it for granted in the school. But I mean, I live at the lower end of the parish, and the woods comes in nearly the back window of the school. And for a long time, I never used it as a learning resource. Until maybe COVID. I mean, this time of year up there is just phenomenal when the leaves, because it's a mixed woodland now, so when the deciduous trees are coming into leaf, it's just absolutely beautiful. And the very same for autumn, and you views across the Shannon and the Sanyon estuary when you see a gap in the trees. A fabulous history to Cratlow Woods as well. It provided the oak. I think Cecil Oak is the oak up there, and it provided the beams in Westminster Abbey, if they could tell a story. And in the Royal Palace,
we want to go home, they'd probably say.
And in the Royal Palace of Amsterdam. And I think legend has it that the Red Branch Knights are there. The Ulster men came down, marched from Auenvaca, which is modern day somewhere in Armagh, I think. That their fort was built out of Cratlow Oak, so that'll tell you. Mara Rua met her demise, apparently, in Cratlow Woods, a tough woman. But there's a fabulous history around Cratlow Woods and the estates of Cratlow Woods as well. And it's important people know that, maybe, when they're walking through it. So that might be a job for our history society.
I even top that. Cratlow Woods comes up in the Fineach poetry, all about Finn McCool, or the Fineach legends, all about Finn McCool. Yeah. Apparently, I was told by somebody who was very well got in Irish, and he was saying it's mentioned back in the Fineach. So, Cratlow Oak. So, whether it's true or not, of course.
Are these things that, you know, I've been in other places in the village tour where they really make a point of promoting all of those kind of things, like Tuam Graney, where there's historical elements and they have plaques and whatever else? Is that something that could be done in Cratlow to promote those kind of elements that might get people, if they don't stay here, you know, history enthusiasts to visit for an afternoon or a day, and they spend money in local shops and stuff? Is that something that could be done? Or
there's probably a bit of a need for a coordinated effort with that. If I sat down beside Noel here, I wouldn't leave her side with the stories that she said, and Noel's daughter Grania often just, there is a real appetite for the local history in Cratlow. And whether it's because obviously we're bound in River Shannon, we have Wooded Hills, we're one of the only two parishes, we were kind of the border, if you like, of the Limerick Diocese here in Cratlow. Because of where we're placed, there's a fabulous history in the area, even back to the War of Independence there. You know, it was real bandit country, if you like, and you know, at the time it was very active. So no matter what element of history you want to find, there was, you know, Cratlow can definitely tell a story. But I suppose I know of a lot of people in Cratlow, and Noel was talking about maybe the difficulty in getting members involved formally into clubs as a place to meet. I know four neighbours anyway in the parish that could tell you, and have written papers and have put in submissions on extraordinary events in Cratlow from all different areas of our history with all different themes, but there might be a place for them to come and meet and talk about that and present it. Now, with Grania, I've had murmurings before that why don't we set up an actual formal time? Is we've less time than we ever had, I suppose, as well. That's a barrier sometimes too. But Noel made an important point as well, that once that's gone and the interest of it's gone, you cannot get that back. Now, last year there was a concerted effort and we set up a website, cratlow.ie, which documented, but every ditch, gateway, you know, crossroads in Cratlow has a story to tell. And you know, not to get, you know, morbid about it, but our older generation are moving. I'm not going to say if they don't tell those stories, they shouldn't be forced to. You need to go and sit beside them and ask them these questions.
Almost like a Caoimhne Van Clor.
Yeah,
kind of,
and I've come across that website. And actually, there's no people from Cratlow on that. And, you know, they have a brilliant byline: when an old man dies, the very same for a woman, a library burns. And it's very, very true. And we have neighbours, we could all mention them now, even when I'm talking like this, you can think in your head that had libraries of stories. Oh, I must ask them about that sometime. I've said it myself. And next thing they pass, you know, and that's going to happen. And all their stories are gone with them. And if you don't have people kind of getting those or digitising them is very important so that they last. But maybe that's a project for the future we could do a bit of support from. Anybody out there, there's the calling. Wants to set up a formal history site in Cratlow to record all that amazing history we have here.
Okay, well, our time is nearly up. That could be the final word on it, the call out for people to gather together or collate Cratlow's history. Does anyone else want to say any last few words?
I think what for me is wonderful is the number of the families who were traditionally people who had lived in Cratlow for generations back. I'm looking at one of them and two of them and three of them pretty well. And the generations back there and the way they have welcomed blow-ins like myself who have come to Cratlow. And you'd know them all and you'd have great chat and whatever else. It's a great community that way. That, you know, the older people, the old people who are born, bred and buttered, as they say, in Cratlow, and the rest of us who just came to Cratlow. It's a wonderful place to live.
Mary, you never told us where you emigrated from.
I'm a very proud Limerick woman.
Oh. you knew not to mention that in Clare FM.
I didn't know what to do last weekend.
Less said about that, the better. Right, on that slightly controversial note, brings an end to our latest stop on the Village Tour from Cratlow GAA Club, where I've had four brilliant guests: Mary Lennon, Noel Danaher, Aaron Carroll and Siobhan O'Gorman. Thank you very much for listening, and tune in again next week to see where I turn up in Clare.
This feature, The Village Tour, is funded by Cumasúin na mBan with a television licence fee.